Welcome, podcast listeners.
Welcome, everybody.
This is June 2025. Here we go again. Making a date we said we weren't going to do. Well, it's June, it's summer, and we're back.
And it's not raining, so that's exciting. Not.
We've had a ton of rain for those of you who live in this area. No, it's been kind of a rough start for us. I feel like summer, but we're back and we're happy to be here. Today, we get to talk with another one of our pastors and his wife, Caleb and Angie Davis.
Woo-woo.
Right. And they've been here
since 2022. So,
okay. So they're going on 4 years. Yeah. October.
Yeah.
So.
It's October they started. So, yeah.
Sorry, folks. We should know that. Anyway, they have a really great story. We can't wait to share, hear them share. They're newly adopted parents to two beautiful twin girls.
Yeah.
8 years old.
Yeah.
I think they just turned eight as well.
And our church actually had an incredible adoption ceremony. Remember that down in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
And we literally filled the courtroom.
Yeah.
Our church did. So
even the judge was like,
was
where
amazed.
Did all these people come from?
So it was a great occasion.
Yeah,
it really
great
was.
Support.
Yep.
Caleb oversees the missions ministry and small group ministry here at the church.
Right. Connect.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
A lot of changes, a lot of stuff going on this month. We had our senior pastor retire.
Yeah, after 49 years.
49 years
here
in our church.
Correct.
That is a faithful servant.
Yeah.
So, of course, we will miss him, but we're also excited to see what the Lord is going to do.
Right.
And leading us in the next season, I feel like I have to say this, is my brother. And if y'all remember, that was our very first podcast, was with him and his beautiful wife, Lauren.
Yeah.
So without further ado, I guess we're just going to welcome Caleb and Angie to our podcast.
Amen. Welcome, Caleb and Angie Davis, to the podcast.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Glad you guys are here. So we're going to dive right into the conversation. So first thing we're going to ask you is, tell us how you met and your journey to the altar. Was it an altar?
Was it an altar? No, it was outside.
It was outside. It was not an altar.
Right.
I know. When I was putting together the question, I'm like, does that sound weird?
Just a pastor holding a book.
The altar of God.
So we met. We actually knew about each other before we met, because we met through some friends.
They tried to set us up.
They did.
Okay.
Some of Angie's friends from Montana had made their way to Louisville and were attending the church that, at the time, I was the kids worship director. And so I was building teams of people in the church, volunteers, to lead music during like the big, you know, powwow. And her friends were a couple who were musicians, and they had three kids at the time who were really little. And so they were volunteers. And so I got to know them really well.
So they had moved from Montana.
Yeah.
So they were, okay.
Yep.
Right.
Caleb was in seminary at this time.
Yes.
And so he was by himself in Louisville. And
they took him in.
He was lonely.
He was lonely.
I needed a Louisville family.
Yes.
And so they became that. I would do 4th of July's with them. I do Thanksgiving with them.
Okay.
You know, seasons that I wouldn't go back home to visit, I spent time with them. So anyway, I had known them for a couple months, and then they just told me about this girl. They're like, Caleb, we've got this girl. This would be perfect for you. And they showed me a picture of her, and I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah,
and
right?
Then she said, she lives in Montana. I'm like, okay.
That's real nice.
Thanks for letting me know that. But
meanwhile, they're doing the same thing to me.
Yeah.
In Montana, they had this guy for you. He looks, you know, exactly like someone you'd want to date. And he's wonderful. And he does a lot of stuff with the church. And he's in seminary. And I was like, it's great, but I live here.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And I wasn't planning on moving. But a year and a half later, some things went on with the church that I was at. And so I just decided to move. And They said, come here. And so I did. And I think the first Sunday that I went to church is when they were like, hey, here's the guy I was telling you about.
So she was there with them. She was a live-in nanny with them.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what got you to Louisville.
Eventually.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't move there with the understanding that I was going to nanny for them, but
all right.
I moved there as she's my best friend. Right. And then it just worked out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those who know us in the church, this is David and Miley. They were here for the adoption celebration and they helped move us here.
Yeah.
Okay. So very close to us. Yeah. They're like family. So I walk in. And I knew she was there because they told me, but I walk in and there she is. And so we meet and we kind of give each other a look like, yeah, I know. Yeah,
okay. We're like, hey, it's good to actually see you this time.
The first two looks, were they from both of you, was it acceptable? It's like.
Yeah, it was like we understand what's happening.
Right. I feel like it was a little embarrassing. We were like, hey, no pressure. It was no pressure. Like,
we're
this
just,
is nice to
we're
meet
just
you.
Be right.
Yeah.
Right. So, there wasn't anything at that point. And I didn't pursue her. She didn't, try to get my attention. It was just we were in community together. Mm. So, that continued. So this couple, they would provide their home on Sunday afternoons for just anybody to come and be at their house. I don't know what they called it.
They called it Sunday supper. And it was so sweet because they did it for me.
They really
said, we want you to get to know people. We want you to get to know people that are younger than you, older than you, same age. We just want you to know people in the church. But they were all single. Mm-hmm. And so they would come over every Sunday and they would bring food, and she's an amazing cook. So she would make food and we just had dinner together. We would, we would worship together,
Do some songs.
We just did so much together. So we did that for 7 months, getting to know each other as friends. And it was such a sweet way to get to know each other without the pressure of dating.
So we met in June of 2014. Yeah.
Yes.
And so then we spent the rest of that year.
We're in June.
Yes, that's right. it was June in 2014. So we spent the rest of that year just being friends, getting to know each other, spending time. I think you dated at least one guy at the church.
Yeah.
Because I was finishing seminary and I liked her, but I saw her as a friend and I was fine keeping it that way until my graduation party. She had to babysit for somebody and she wasn't there. Mm. And I was like, where's Ange? I missed her. Yeah. And that's when I realized I really thought a lot about her. I really wanted her in my life. So that was in December. I went back home to Oklahoma and I couldn't stop thinking about her. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew I was in trouble. because she was dating somebody at the time. And he was an older guy, established. He had a house. I mean, he was a good guy at the church. And so while I was in Oklahoma for the holiday, David, the husband of the couple, he was texting me, all the stuff about the guys. Like, no,
you better
make
a move, dude.
Yeah, because they knew how I felt about her at that point. Yeah. And so he was like, no, she shouldn't be with this guy. I think he's full of himself or whatever. Right. So maybe we should edit that out. I don't know. He's going to listen in. But,
his name is not mentioned. So it's right.
So anyway, he was giving me hope, as I'm back home. Meanwhile, what was going on for you with that?
Yeah, I was just, it was fine. We were dating, we were going out together, and I just wasn't really super interested. And I think that's what tipped them
off.
I was like, it's okay. Like, I don't really want to date somebody I'm just okay with. And so it was kind of coming to an end anyway. And then eventually I had broken up with him.
In January.
He knows even.
Yes.
Well, I know because I was coming back and David was telling me, all right, she's broken off with him. Like, this is your chance. Okay.
They plotted so much in our relationship. Did, it's amazing. I was working for Sojourn at the time, the church that we went to. I was assisting one of the pastors, mm-hmm. and every Sunday they did this thing called Sojourn in 10. And it's for the new people in the church. They get 10 minutes to hear from the pastors, and they get...
They pick off in a small room.
Yeah, and there's refreshments and stuff like that. They can ask questions. Great. And so I was setting up all of the refreshments and everything. And Caleb came in, and I was like, "You're back! He's been gone for so long." I was like, "You're back!"
Did you run to him?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember. I don't think so.
No, there was no magic, no magic moment.
But I liked him. I just So he helped me set everything up, and then I was having issues with this program that helps people sign up for groups and stuff, and so. He went upstairs in the church office and helped me, tried to help me figure it out.
There was a plot. I had already prepared for this moment. I had talked with a friend of mine who did tech stuff at the seminary, and she told me she was having trouble with this program. So I was like, "Hey, I need to talk to her by myself. So can you, can I bring you in to help her maybe with this program? And while you're doing that, I can talk to her."
Yeah.
So I had kind of concocted a plan.
Good.
To have that conversation.
Yeah. That's well, funny. He was up there trying to help me. It didn't end up working. I couldn't get it to work. But the guy that I was dating, I had already broken up with, and he was texting me and saying "Hey, can we just talk? I just want to talk and figure things out." And I was trying to tell him no, it was not a thing anymore. So I told Caleb, "Oh, this guy keeps texting me saying he wants to, hang out."
You just said out loud, "Oh, I wish I wasn't here."
Okay, yeah. So I said, I wish I wasn't here. Right, yeah. So
I jumped in and said, "Hey, do you want to go get coffee?"
There you go.
I have a solution.
Yeah. So we went and got coffee, and so I was like, "Oh, sorry, I'm not at the church anymore." So yeah, we went and got coffee.
So we went and got coffee, and she was explaining to me, about the relationship, and I was telling her, guys, I understand women want to be nice and try to be kind and not hurt a guy's feelings, but guys just need to hear it cut and clear. They need to know. There needs to be clarity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I said, "Here, let me have your phone. I'll write up a text,
and
then I'll hit back to you and see what you think of it." Right. So then I texted her. It's like, "Okay, it's over, buddy." So I wrote a very clear text of what she was telling me that she wanted to say.
Yeah.
And then I handed it back and she was like, "Oh no," and she changed a couple
of
things.
I edited some things. Yeah.
And softened it a little bit.
Yeah.
So she hit send. And then I said, "So do you know why I asked you to come here?"
Oh.
And she's like, "No, I have no idea." I said, and I explained to her that I thought a lot about her. She was a woman of character, and I want to intentionally pursue her to see where this can go and if marriage is something for us.
Wow. Yeah, he was very straightforward, but I appreciated that. I was like, okay, I know his intentions. Because before this, I didn't think he was interested at all. We never spent time alone together or anything like that. So.
Yeah, and that was my intention, was always to just protect her from, I didn't want to give her a back and forth kind of thing.
Which is so helpful in a relationship.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so I knew I had to be very clear and draw a line and say, "Okay, here it is." And there was a little snafu with that.
One of my really good friends really liked Caleb a lot.
Uh-oh.
And so I was
you texted her.
I met with her in person.
Yeah.
Good.
I met with her in person.
She couldn't say yes right away. She was like, this is good news, but I have to talk to a friend first.
And she was pretty upset with me for a while,
that's hard.
It was a tough thing.
So
we started dating.
Yeah. Started dating. That was in February. So we had Valentine's Day, right around the corner, which was fine. We didn't really do much. I think I bought you flowers, but anyway, we continued, in our dating relationship, and it was good. We had just a lot to learn about each other and talk through, because now we were having intentional conversations about our lives and our past. And, it was during this time, just the first few months. So this was, the beginning of February until, June is when we actually got engaged. So that was the dating period, because we had known each other for almost
a year. We'd known each other for so long that I was like, if we ever start dating, I know we're going to get married.
Yeah, that was my thought too.
Yeah,
that was us. That was totally us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice? I love
it. Really
that.
Is. Yeah. And because we had also been in situation to observe each other, it was just kind of known.
Yeah.
When Mark asked someone out, everyone knew he's marrying them.
Oh, I love that.
Winner is.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So we, you know, we continued on in that relationship. I had a lot of just misconceptions about what that experience would be. Mm-hmm. And I had poor expectations. You know, I thought that in a dating relationship, as you're moving toward marriage, there would just be this ever increasing confidence in where this was going and how you felt about the person. And I was experiencing up and down. As I was dealing with my own insecurities, could I handle like some of her struggles and things that she was sharing with me? I was feeling insecure about that. And so I didn't know, you know, is she really like, can I really love and care for this woman? And so
that's great. You were asking yourself.
You know, I had doubts and I was worried. And unfortunately I, you know, as I share that with her, that just ramped up her doubts and insecurities. Yeah. And it always hurt her when I would talk about like how I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I was really insecure anyways, just from previous dating relationships that I'd been in and the way that they had ended, that this was like, oh no, it's happening again.
I was,
it's hard. The perfect storm.
Yeah. The way I was being was reminding her of past relationships and making her think, it's happening again.
Right.
And so, you know, it came to a head in May. It was like the second week of May where I was just sharing my hesitations and my worries. And
it's the worst month in all eternity.
I had been given counsel that maybe we should take a step back and just get some clarity from being around each other all the time. Because we were with each other all the time.
Yeah.
So take a step back, get some space. And so as I was sharing that with her, I didn't lead well in that conversation. I was just kind of beating around the bush. And then finally she was like, just go.
Yeah. Like, because it probably felt like rejection. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it was really hurtful for her. And so she dropped me off at my house and I got out of the car and she drove away. It was very uncomfortable. But I spent
like a Hallmark movie.
I spent all that time just really seeking the Lord and seeking wise counsel, trying to understand what was going on with me. And what I came to understand in that time is I was looking for someone who, my expectation was someone who was just lovely. And that was it. And then I was looking for this lovely person that I would just feel confident and good about all the time, when really what the kind of love God calls us to in the gospel is a love that presses in to broken things and is redeeming love and is willing to sacrifice. And it's a love that has its ups and downs. And what really helped me I was wrestling with the question, do I love her? Right. Do I love her? How do you know? You know? And this is how I kind of made this understanding is, you know, my love for her was up and down. And so I was worried that meant I didn't love her, but the Lord just helped reveal to me, that my love for him is up and down.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The affections, the chemicals, so to speak, right. Just the way we feel, it changes so much. And that's not what tells you the answer. The answer is, do I want to love her? And am I committed to that? Do I sense that the Holy Spirit is equipping me to love her? Like particularly what her struggles are, what her child, her past. Do I believe that God is giving me the grace and the gift to love her? And do I want that? And so at the end of that, you know, time, the answer was yes. I do love her because I want to. No matter what my feelings are, I want to cultivate her beauty. I want to be investing in her as a person.
Amen.
it wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't about how I felt about things or what I wanted. It became more about, do I actually want what's good for her? And that's how I came out. I realized I do love her.
Yeah, it just sounds like it was just like a sanctifying work that God was doing in your heart.
Yeah.
Seriously, to give you an understanding of not only what is going to transpire between the two of you as a couple, but really you and the Lord and what that looks like.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about this? And I share it because we literally just heard a sermon last night where the pastor was talking about marriage and real love. And how we have tricked ourselves into thinking what real love is. Mm-hmm. And what you've just explained is real love. It's not me. It's about her. Mm-hmm. It's about Mark. Yeah. It's sacrificing myself so that I love him well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get so caught up in what the movies show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the feelings and the emotions. And I do that. I get really caught up in the emotions.
Well, we're Americans.
Yes, exactly.
We've been conditioned.
We want happy endings, everything perfect.
Exactly. But I think you needed to walk through that. And I think I needed to have my own experience of walking through that and trusting God that this is a different person. It may end up differently than the other experiences that I had. And so, you know, instead of being a Debbie Downer, like, it's happening again, you know, crying into my pillow like I did, it helps me still trust God that, you know, if this is the person for me, then it will happen. Yeah.
So when he comes back around, what kind of confidence does that give you that he is in 100%?
Yes. I could tell that this was going to be different. I remember talking to Miley in her kitchen and I looked up and I just remember seeing these cereal boxes. This doesn't mean anything, but I just had this peace come over me that was like, it's him. Yeah. It wasn't like God said, this is the one, you know, but I just had this peace wash over me that was like, it's going to be okay. Yeah. I can just wait and be patient.
That's awesome.
And I think it was like the next day he wrote this like 5-page letter.
I wrote a letter. I gave it to her church.
Nice.
So it was a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I said, just read it and get back to me.
Oh, that's very Mr. Darcy.
It is very Mr. Darcy. I didn't think about that. It is.
Yeah, I didn't want to press in. I didn't want, you know, anything. I just wanted her to, like, you know, read it and then we can talk.
Yeah.
So we didn't bring the letter. We're not going to read it.
No.
Yeah. But that'd be cool, though.
It explained what I just explained to you, where I was at and how I wanted to love him and I wanted to continue. And
yeah, so he figured out the problem. This is what it is. This is the movement forward. And then
I think
just got back together.
I think so when we saw each other next was actually because I left my keys at David's house.
I don't remember this.
And you came to give them to me. You met me
my work. You were teaching.
I was teaching at the time. So she met me at work. And so when I saw her coming and she had a smile on her face, I was like, oh, okay.
We're good.
Yeah.
She didn't throw the keys at the door.
No, she didn't throw the keys
as I'm driving by.
So that it was really great. And so from that point on, we really had just this a wonderful experience of enjoying our time together. And so this was, you know, it was still May. It was like the third week of May. So May, June, the very next month. So I was ring shopping at that point.
Wow.
As soon as you I made my decision, I was talking with her, Miley, you know, her best friend. And I was taking rings from her room to get, you know, make sure I get the right size. And so Miley helped me pick one out. And so, we went to Shakespeare in the Park. It may have been Taming the Shrew. It may have been something. But,
but after
that, we went to a fountain that was in the park. It was in the evening. I had had people placed around, you know, to take pictures and stuff. But she didn't see them. They were hiding. But there was a blanket. And we sat down and I gave her a box that I bought that had all of the letters that I had written to her over like our dating relationship. And so I just pulled each one out and I read them to her.
And then I got
to the last one, which was a new one, where I get to the end of and I tell her that I love her. And then I get down and ask her to marry me.
Oh, my goodness.
It was very sweet. It was
the very first thing she says is,
are you sure? Well, because he had just said, like, it's going to be a while. I feel like we were just talking about this the week before or something. Yeah, and he threw me off because he said, it's going to be a while. And that's when he said that. I'm like, are you sure?
Because I was like sitting there, yes. Yeah. Look at it. What am I doing? And so she said yes. And then, it was great.
Yeah, we got engaged in July and married in November.
Wow. Engaged in June. Yes, married in November. Wow. So we tried to just keep it as short as possible, plan the wedding and get hitched.
What'd your wedding day look like?
So we got married out in kind of the country. There was a kind of a chapel-like building and overlooked basically where like horses, like pastures and stuff.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful in Kentucky, yeah, right? So it was in November, which is still fairly green.
No rain.
No. We had our wedding outside.
It was warm. Nice. It was actually one of the only warm days, like sandwiched in between. Like,
mid-November, right? So this wouldn't fly in New England.
No. Yeah.
But it was the last warm day of the year.
Huh.
And we had geese fly over us. And
I know. It was like, did someone do that on purpose? Yeah. It was like the perfect situation. We're wonderful. Saying our vows, like these geese fly over.
So there, it was a smaller wedding. We had about 80, 85 people.
Yeah, we had a small wedding.
But had a ton of fun.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. And we tried to get out of there early because we needed to get to our honeymoon. We were taking a flight the next morning.
You can edit that out.
I'm just saying.
No, we're living it in there. Bras can be.
I'm loving this. This is great.
Yeah, we did a cruise.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Very cool.
All right, so with all that, you talked a little bit about your expectations going into this. So maybe you, in a way, have answered this, but how has your expectations of marriage been met or shocked? So you've made the decision, you're going to dive in. So I think that was really great, honestly, because you gave that a lot of thought before even saying, will you marry me? So now you're married.
Mm-hmm.
So pick up from there.
I think we had people around us telling us, like, oh, the first year is the hardest, you know? And so I think I was expecting something awful.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we were older when we got married.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm 5 years older than Caleb is. And so I think I was 32.
Yeah, I was 20.
I would never guess that.
25.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. How old was that?
I was 32, but we can do the math. So I was just expecting, you know, I'm set in my ways. I've been living this long and I, you know, have got my routines together and all of that.
Right.
So I was just expecting some bumps in the road, you know, for us with us being older, but it was great. I mean, we communicated really well. We hardly ever fought. We just did life. We had fun together. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah. I wouldn't say there were even really fights. They were just, we would talk about things that we disagreed about.
Yeah.
And just
we
talk
were like,
them.
This is amazing. Everybody's been saying it's been like this
we
awful first year. And I'm like, wow.
We were like bracing ourselves.
Yeah. Like, does it get worse after this?
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And of course we, you know, we sin against each other, but it was just, you know, we know how to have grace for each other. That's a value in our marriage. So It was a value from day one. It's one of the things that attracted me to her is I knew she was a person of grace. And so I think that in that sense, because we had spent time together, we had known each other, we kind of knew what to expect because we had evaluated and really thought about each other's character. And so we kind of just continued that. And I'm a very go with the flow kind of person, especially, you know, in like personal things and how things work in the home. And so if Ange wanted something, I was fine. Just, okay, let's do it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You want to paint that thing? You want to buy that?
Which makes it very easy for me.
But yeah, I think the challenge there for me was learning how to lead and how to actually step in.
Sure.
That was my
biggest. Put my foot down, so to speak, right?
Right.
But even just be... Right. Have confidence about a decision.
Yeah.
I had to learn that.
Yeah. So it seems like a lot of your courting—that's the word we want to use here.
Yes.
You establish that foundation of understanding what you were going into. So the first year was fine. Was the second year fine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, third year's fine? It's been amazing until we have the kids.
Kids,
yeah.
Okay.
Until we brought that through a rental
two other
system.
Human beings into this. That's right. We were doing great.
I mean, I honestly was like, are we not communicating well? Like, why is this going so well? And everyone, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me segue that in. I'm going to ask you this next one. It says, can you share where your marriage has been challenged, since we're kind of talking about that, mm-hmm. and how you came through this challenge, and maybe you're still in it. So
there were a couple of challenges earlier on. We struggled in the beginning we wanted to have kids right away. And so it became very clear after the first year, nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, went to see doctors and figured out basically that we weren't going to be able to have kids, or it was mm-hmm. going to be really hard. Mm-hmm. And so we actually went through everything short of IVF mm-hmm. to try and mitigate, you know, what was going on. And so we walked through infertility in the marriage.
Yeah.
And that was really disappointing, especially for Ange.
Yeah, it was extremely really crushing. Yeah.
I was like give or take kind of. Mm-hmm. I wanted kids, but I didn't.
Right.
I just don't set my heart on stuff, really.
It didn't have to be that avenue.
Right.
Like we could have adopted, mm-hmm. you know, and you would have been fine with it.
Yeah, but that was really hard. And for me to learn how to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really, how do I weep with my wife who's really hurting about not being able to have kids?
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't give you kids, right? And it made it very, it was like shame statements, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that was really hard and having to work through that.
Yeah. And it was actually me. So I have endometriosis, which caused us to not be able to have kids. And so I was saying the same thing. Like, I physically cannot give you kids. And so it's a lonely road. Because people are afraid to ask because they don't want to make you sad.
Right. We do.
Yeah.
We're not having kids. And it's a good opportunity just to share, you know, where mm-hmm. God has a plan for us. Sometimes it's that plan that we don't know, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. or what happened. But not that have you guys been able to walk alongside other people that have not been able to have kids? Have you had those opportunities or not?
Not the exact opportunity. Yeah. So we've had friends that have taken a long time to conceive, but they did conceive. Or other situations, miscarriages. Things that are also really, really challenging in the realm of, you know, conceiving and all of that. But we have been able to use some of the wisdom that we've gained to walk alongside other couples with similar issues.
Or just to know how to be sensitive to that and be aware, you know, even on like a Sunday morning, you know, when I'm Mother's Day or Father's Day, right? Just knowing, okay, there's people who have a similar story to us.
Yeah.
It could be a real hard
and needing
day
to, just being sensitive to that and not assuming. So I think that was really helpful. So that was a big challenge we faced. How we came through that was just by loving and caring for each other and really considering each other's interest. I mean, that was the fight.
Well, and the thing too is I really knew in the depths of my heart that if God really wants good things for us, if he wanted us to conceive, if he wanted us to have birth children, it would happen.
Yeah.
So there's a reason, and I found comfort in that. If there's a reason that it didn't happen, it's God's will, then I find safety in that.
Right.
And so it helped me move through the process.
Yeah.
You know, it's like ripping open a wound whenever someone else is pregnant, my sister or a close friend or something, and that was really hard. But I always went back to, if this is really something that would have been good for us, we would have God would have blessed us.
The Lord
it.
Would have. Absolutely. Yeah. He had a different journey in mind.
Yeah, he did. He did. And we're thankful for it. I think we can look at it now. Like the pain is not, I mean, we have so much in our face.
You're
right
kind
now.
Of occupied right now.
We're occupied right now, so we don't think about it. But yeah, I think we've moved through that.
Yeah. So now the bigger, more recent challenge is having kids.
Yeah.
So we had a challenge of not being able to have kids, and then we had the challenge of actually having them.
Yeah.
Through adoption. Beautiful process.
Right. So we adopted the girls last October. Mm-hmm. We brought them into the home the August of the year before that.
Prior to
almost 2 years ago. And when they came, you know, it exposed just disunity that we had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What do you mean you believe that?
Yeah. Like, I was swimming in water. I'm like, goodness. I can't find the way up. Like, I don't know how to do this.
So just to give you an idea. So Ange is very particular about how things go in the home. And that's a place of refuge and safety for, for me.
Got you, girl. Got you.
But here's the problem. For me, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care. So what's really important to her is not important to me. And that was okay when it was just us two.
Right. Like, you don't have the same
because I wouldn't
are important, but,
violate the rules.
Right.
But now we've got two kids that we're supposed to train and discipline in the Lord.
Together.
And they're violating the rules. Yeah. She cares about it. I don't.
Yeah.
Right. I so there's the conflict. Yeah. And there's the challenge is.
Because you got to be on the same page.
Exactly.
They pick up on it.
Oh, they do.
Especially eight years old.
Yeah, we got them when they were six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was.
Yeah. We would talk about expectations that we had and what we would expect from them, what to do, and she would hold to it, and I wouldn't. And so that was
fire.
Well, they were like, "When's Daddy coming home?" And I was like, "He's not coming home. We're dealing with me."
No.
That's funny.
So she often felt like the bad guy, and I often put her in that position.
Right.
And so that's been the last 2 years of trying to figure
out. So do you feel like you're gaining ground on unity here in regards to raising these
so
girls?
Yeah, so we turned a corner on that, I think, maybe 2 or 3 months ago. Maybe it's been very recent.
Okay. We had some pretty good fights.
Yeah.
About this.
Ange was in tears.
Yeah.
That's how I fight. I cry.
And I feel horrible.
Because it's emotional.
Yes.
It's hard.
I'm so full of emotions.
So, and I think it's a process of me learning how to lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ange learning how to follow and not take the lead.
Yeah.
Right. And that's been the challenge.
Yeah.
Is how does Ange trust the Lord? And for things that are chaotic and not what she wants.
There's no order.
And how does Caleb care about something other than himself and actually discipline his kids? Right. So it's a challenge for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
But we've come together in that. And there's been some other forms of discipline. And
That was a long road too.
Yeah. How do you train a kid? And all these things that. They're six. They're in our house.
They're instantly six.
Yes.
It's not time to think about this. Yeah. Yeah.
And now 6 year olds who are very independent and talk
they're
and want their own things.
Back.
Oh, yeah. And they're not ours at that point. They weren't even our kids.
Yeah, we were fostering them.
And so there's a whole different dynamic of a challenge for us. This is a challenge in our marriage of make having them feel like they're really ours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because Ange didn't carry them in her womb. And so there's a bonding that God created to happen in the womb. We didn't get that. So we had to, and as babies, right? Mm-hmm. When they're totally dependent on you, you give them everything. You have this practice of sacrificing for them for years, getting nothing in return.
You guys are cold turkey.
And so you don't get any of that, right? You don't get any of that lead up. You don't get any of that bonding. You don't get any of that affection. Now you just have people in your home who are hurting you constantly. And you have to love them.
Right. Well, and with my background,
my
family background,
it's a redemptive story. It's not a creation story.
No.
Adoption is a redemptive story, and that's different from having birth kids. So that's a unique challenge that we've had in our marriage to learn how to live in that redemption story, to experience the pain of that, and that brings up the infertility again. Of what we longed for, get, right? Mm-hmm. So it connects even back to that.
Absolutely.
And so those are challenges that we've had to work through.
Yeah.
Well, and for me specifically with my background with my mom, whenever somebody hurts me, my tendency is to push them away.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't push these little girls away. Right. I'm supposed to bring them closer to me as they're kicking and screaming. I think one of them actually threw a chair at me one time.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things where I'm like, I cannot do this. But God is good.
Can
and
I leave?
Exactly.
Because they're trying to bond us. They're trying to see us as family.
It's trust.
They're testing everything.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we had to build that.
Right. Yeah.
So thinking about these challenges, how do you guys keep yourself in the Word and move together with the Lord. I mean, obviously that's
that's how now, you're sitting here.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Being sustained by the Lord.
Yeah.
I think, we just have, you know, had the habit, even as single people, spending time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that is worked in. But I think also along the way for me, just having discipled people with, you know, going through their own issues and everything. It's like, I don't want to give them wisdom from me. You know, I want it to be scripture based. And so that has also pushed me to be in the Word more too, so that when I'm giving advice back, it's not, there's a root to it that means something, you know.
When someone's counting on you, it drives you to the Lord.
Yes, it really does.
When you're struggling, it's like, well, I've got one place to go that's going to make this right.
Yes. And now just having the girls,
yeah.
You know, there's been times where I've run in the bathroom with my Bible. I'm like, I need something real fast. I need something now. And they're knocking on the door. And I'm just like, please help me.
Hold on. I can't find the verse. Yes. I'll be there in a minute.
Yes. So that too, but I mean, just with us, like, we haven't really found a time to spend time in the Word together. That's never really worked well for us.
There's been starts and stops.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like I'm a morning person. I'm always up really early.
I'm not.
He's not a morning person. Yeah. So finding that
in the morning, I fall asleep.
Finding that time together.
My brain's not, I'm awake. But that's about as good as it gets. It takes a while for things to start clicking.
Yeah.
So we've really, it's more so following up with each other. Yeah. What do you, you know, what do
there you, go.
Yeah, just connecting.
What are you studying? Okay. What are you hearing? And then we have conversation and, you know, and we engage in media together and we talk about it, and that leads to conversations about the Word. Like, it always applies.
Yeah.
And so even things that we're engaging in, we're bringing the Word into that. We're talking about the scriptures and how it applies to parenting or, you know, politics or whatever. Right. And so it's a constant come back to the Word and to, it's kind of just what we swim in and what we live in. Mm-hmm. It's not just a section in the morning that we read.
Right.
Although there is that, that's important.
And there is an element, I think, a challenge of people that are in ministry like you, Caleb, being a pastor and a pastor's wife. You're putting so much into the church and activities in the church and preparing for things in the church that, you know, do the children and do your marriage suffer because of that? And the intentionality there, I think, is just so, so important to at least have the same theology, right?
That's really important.
Now, when the kids came in, I knew that they needed Bible intake. Seriously.
They didn't know anything.
And so we get a lot of our Bible time with them.
Which is kind of cool.
In the morning at the breakfast table, we read a chapter. In the evening at dinner, we read a chapter, talk about it.
Night.
When we're putting them to bed, we read a psalm or we read something over them and then pray. Mm-hmm. And so it's constantly throughout the day. There's, you know, when you rise, when you lay down, when you go on the way, right? Constantly be talking about these things with your children, as Deuteronomy says. And so that's something that I knew I had to implement and lead in for their sakes, also been good for us.
Yeah. Have they been receptive to the Word?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are times when they're like, oh, I don't want to do this. Can we skip it today?
Yeah. You know? They're kids.
But that's actually something you've led really well with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've been amazing. Mm. I mean, you're a good leader in general, but like this in particular, I think that you've really done a good job doing this.
The girls are actually bringing you together in the Word for them. That's so cool. That's a beautiful thing.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Good.
Role models. Have you had any role models who have displayed marriage that it's been helpful to emulate or wanted to?
And actually, I think ours is the same. Well, one person in a couple. So
is it David?
No. I didn't mean that. Like, no. I just meant, no, it's not them.
That's not interesting enough.
No, Robert and Karen Chong.
Mm-hmm.
They in Louisville.
Mm-hmm. You know, he was the care pastor at Sojourn for over a decade, and he mentored me in being a pastor, being an elder, and learning how to care for people, meet them where they're at in counseling. And
Karen was just like this godsend for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were tough times that we went through together, you mm-hmm. know, when we were dating, and she was just there. She helped me listen to women well. And I think just knowing how to ask the right questions and dig deeper and follow the string. And they both mentored us for counsel. Mm-hmm. And he's done a lot more with it than I have. But just, I mean, in life in general, they've been amazing.
But knowing their struggles as a couple mm-hmm. and things that have gone on in their marriage that were challenging, because I think they were married when they weren't believers.
Yeah, they both became believers after marriage. Yeah.
And so, and even after, I think, their first kid. But so it, watching and hearing their stories, hearing how they worked through their challenges was so helpful.
You know, yeah, just how they relate to each other. Mm-hmm. Throughout issues like disagreements in the church and mm-hmm. all of those things, like they just were such great examples.
Are you still in communication with them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Not as much as we'd like, but well, they're busy.
Right. Right. Yeah, when you're distant, mile wise, it doesn't make sense.
But we went
hard,
back to, but we visited Louisville last year mm-hmm. and we got lunch with them and spent time with them.
Yeah.
So we try to connect with them when we're back.
Always great.
Yeah.
I'd also say my mom and dad.
Yeah, I would agree with that too.
Have, I mean, they do such parents. A good job. Yeah, you know them.
Yeah.
They have done such a good job at showing what a healthy marriage is, mm-hmm. even though they have conflict, which they
what call, do they call it?
Yeah, when they argue, they call it intense fellowship.
I like that. So sweet. I love it so much.
That's their word for it.
Sounds Christianese or something.
But I
mean, that's what ours has become. It's no longer the argument.
Yeah,
so
it's intense fellowship. Yes.
But being close, I know, growing up, obviously, with my parents, but, you know, as a kid, not really seeing their flaws, not really seeing where things were wrong, but then getting older and being able to look back and see what was broken. But then to watch, like my dad, for example, to recognize those things too, to own up to those things and then to make changes, be more invested in the church and in discipleship. And
that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In community, and to hear his, I mean, just the openness about the struggles and being able to talk about that with your kids is like, that's the role model. It's not that they were perfect. It's that, they showed us how to deal with our brokenness, the things that are challenging in our life, and how to repent in a marriage.
Which I never had that example. Seeing them, it's like, they're my parents too, you know? And so I get to experience what a healthy marriage looks like from them, and more closely than even Robert and Karen, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love that they just have so much fun together still. I mean, they will laugh and play and seem like they're kids again. You know, they are just big kids. We're so blessed by them.
I think that that is absolutely a big deal. I've heard, you know, both sides of the stories of, I never knew, you know, my parents struggled because they never, you know, when they argued, it was in secret or, you know, closed room or whatever. And the other side, like what I grew up in, where they were arguing all the time. So I think there is a realness that comes from your kids seeing you argue well and how to reconcile and then move on, move forward, as opposed to the shock of, oh, I thought my parents were perfect, you know?
Yeah.
They're not.
That's fun. All right. A little transparency here. We're going to switch it up a bit. It says, how do you work through things that drive you nuts at each other?
Grace. God, more grace.
That's it.
What's an example, if you want to share?
Oh, man.
They might not want to share.
No, it's okay. I think we can.
It's okay.
Here we go.
Caleb and I usually communicate super well. But you throw in the kids and it all goes out the window.
Yeah. We had troubles before that, but
not like been, this. This has been it's pretty been crazy. So what drives me nuts is I will have this idea in my mind. Of course, I like order. You know, I want to know what the day is going to look like if I can. And then find out, like, oh, he comes home. He's like, I have this thing tonight. I'm like, is it on the calendar? Nope. You know, or just, he's like, I told you. I'm like, nope. So it's just the busy lives of kids, and he's got a lot going on at work, and it's just like figuring out how to make it work together.
And if that's your personality, that would drive you nuts.
It does.
Just can't wing it.
But I know what he's experiencing.
Yes, yes. And there you go. It's understanding on both sides.
Yes.
Because the person who's, you know, laid back and can just kind of roll
just
with
at
things.
Me.
Again, I get you. It's harder for those of us that plan.
Yeah.
It is stressful, actually.
Yeah.
When we don't know what's coming down the pike.
Or if you change the plan.
Or change it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's enough.
I'll get there, but give me a moment.
That'll really be the day.
Well, because I have this thought, like, I've been with the kids all day. I can't wait for Caleb to come home. And he's like, I have this meeting. And I'm like, no.
Well, we're coming to you.
Yeah. It just means that I have hold on too tightly. Things that I need to let go of.
And you know, I think that is the Lord saying, let go.
Yes.
Let go.
And it's hard.
He knows how he's created us.
Yeah.
Now, that's not going to change. But there are places where we have to just relax.
Yes.
Let go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a process of reminding yourself that this person that you're married to cannot satisfy everything you want.
Boy, that is so true.
And at the same time, you have to prefer them.
That's right.
Yes.
They're driving you nuts.
Yeah.
They're doing something you don't like.
Right.
But they're not your God. And so you kind of have to take your heart off of that a little bit.
And so then
the forgiveness, right? Recognizing you have your faults.
Right.
But
yeah.
It is really a process of keeping your spouse from becoming an idol and isn't it crazy how that slips in
before you really even realize that that's what you're doing.
Well, Caleb has actually nicknamed me something because of that.
Yeah, she there are times where
maybe this is what drives you crazy about me.
No, it's okay.
There's other things.
It's kind of cute, but there are times where she's just really craving attention from me, and she will interrupt things that I'm doing. So I'm on my computer working, and she'll just come over and just like mess with the keyboard or something, or she'll just like get in my way or like move my arms. So I was explaining this to one of my best friends, Jason, and he said, "Ah, it sounds like a cat wife." And I said, "That's it."
Cat wife. Oh, there you go.
Going to say,
walking on top of the laptop.
Yes.
So that's her nickname.
Time's up.
Okay, cat wife is out. Cat wife is here.
But whenever cat wife returns, I know that it's an indication that I'm not spending enough time with the Lord. You know, that I'm trying to get out of Caleb what really needs to come from God.
Yeah.
So
it's
a joke, but it's also.
Yeah.
It's also something really good.
Reminder.
Boy, yes.
It's always in front of us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, last question for this first portion, the serious part. How do you have fun together?
Yeah. I think we have fun just being together.
We do, yeah.
I would believe that. You guys just seem to.
When we have time to just slow down and there's not demands put on us, it's just we enjoy talking with each other and jokes that come up or just
inside jokes.
Yeah, the way we are together. It's a lot of fun. There are activities that we do that together that are fun. I really like board games and like video games, things like that.
I despise them.
And
I remember the first time we did a board game with you.
You went crazy.
And
it awakens something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played Puck.
And you were like,
we're not playing
it
right.
Yeah, that's right. You were like, so talk about rules. That came out. And we were like, I thought you were joking.
Yeah.
And you were like, no.
You were intense.
This is how it goes.
It's like the one area that rules really mean something.
Because without them, you've got chaos.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, we've got.
So board games are fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got a couple games that Ange does like.
Yes.
And that we do play together, and that's fun. And so
you'll have to ask Ange what they are. Because you and I don't do board games.
I've got the same problem.
Yeah.
Mark does not like them.
So we do have a couple things like that. that we can do inside together that, that's fun. But we also really enjoy hiking, walking, getting out.
Trying new restaurants.
Yep. Yeah. We love going to new restaurants, trying new things together.
Yeah.
Even just like spending time outside, like in groups with people, we much more prefer being together while we're doing that.
Yeah.
We don't like just hanging out with, you know, a group by yourself. Yeah. It's kind of like, I'm missing somebody.
Yeah.
Right. That's beautiful.
So you're kind of chill. Is that what that, if you put a theme over your marriage, we're chill?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll tell you about the kids. And
I was going to say, I feel like now it might be a little different. I don't know what word I would put on it now. But
yeah, I see a lot of growth just in the story you guys have shared here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we know a little bit of it, but just hearing you communicate this today, quite honestly, is encouraging. It's beautiful.
Right.
Because you've been intentional with, okay, there's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some struggles. But we're going to pay attention to each other, and we're going to work through this. And I just love that.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we're going to transition out of that fun part to what we call.
We're not done with
We're not done yet. To what we call the lightning round.
Ooh,
so we're going to throw. We're going to throw one word at you, and just real quick, the first thing that comes to your mind.
Oh no!
Yeah, okay. First thoughts, whatever that looks like.
Okay,
so. Oh, I'm starting. Of course I'm starting because this Angie and I have already communicated this.
Oh.
Tattoos.
Yay.
And I'm waiting for mine.
Ring.
Ring.
That's right. Because you guys have. Now, what is your rings? What are they? Because you guys have your wedding band is a tattoo.
Well,
is that right?
Well, both not initially. That was our third anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have our weddings. I still wear mine.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
But it's based off of Song of Solomon. I belong to my beloved and my beloved belongs to me.
Okay.
But that all in Hebrew won't fit on a finger.
Right.
So
right.
It's just Ani La is how you say it in Hebrew on my finger. And then on hers is Ani Lo, which just means I belong to her. I belong to him.
That's cool. That's really great.
Yeah.
All right, Bible translation.
ESV.
ESV.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm Greek and Hebrew.
There you go.
Are you?
Literal.
Is that what you read?
I always go back to it. Yeah. I don't just sit and read Greek and Hebrew.
Yeah.
I'm not a nerd like that.
I was like, wait,
the
what?
Fact that you just said it makes you a nerd.
So you are the translator then. You are the translation.
No.
That's really great.
But. No, I if I'm going to do English version, it's ESV.
ESV, okay.
Time.
Oh. Running.
Okay. Running.
I always think like punctual.
Okay. All right.
Good.
Yeah. I think of the fact that like it just won't stop and things keep happening and it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
I'm very simple.
Yeah.
I like things to be very simple and easy. I don't like choice. I just want to be told what to do.
Yeah.
All right. Community.
Invaluable.
Necessary. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been something. Whenever I've moved to a new place, wherever I've been, I know I immediately need to find my community. I need immediately need to find people that are committed to the Lord and open up to them and share my story and have them get to know me and you kind of just give, for me, it's, you have to give trust. You don't actually like make people earn it. You can, but there's a vulnerability. There's a willingness to be hurt that is required, to form
which is
community.
Just love.
Yeah.
It's just loving.
So
other people,
but I valued it so highly that I've been willing to be burned. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I know I need it. I need it.
That's hard. It's just hard because I have to really push myself to do that because I'm prone to being by myself and being quite okay with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, same.
But you don't help yourself when it's just yourself here.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
Life just gets so much better. And sometimes it feels worse when you have community there.
Right. Yeah,
but it's just
really important.
Are we ruining the lightning round by like elaborating?
You're like everybody else.
Okay. This is.
I mean, I want to ask questions about your community. Because when
I interviewed for the position here, I was also given a lightning round.
Yeah.
One of Pastor Kent's famous lightning rounds.
Right. Yeah. You did well too, by the way. Yeah. I loved your answers.
Oh, good.
Amen. I agree.
All right.
Hobbies.
Reading.
Gaming.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say boring.
Okay.
Yeah, like
Jihari said that boring.
Boring.
I don't like spending money.
Yeah.
I do not like it. Yeah. But if I'm going to spend money, it's probably going to be on a board game.
Books. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got two readers.
Angie and I share this love. Yeah.
Yes, great. We do. Great.
That's fun.
Okay. This is kind of like what you said drives you nuts, but you know, maybe take it outside of each other. Pet peeves. Oh. Do you have pet peeves?
People who take a million years to turn a corner.
Wow.
In the car.
My thought was inefficiency in most things, but in driving.
In driving,
That's what came to mind.
It gets us.
I've had to let go of that. And I read a book that really helped.
Pastors who are patient driving.
Read a book for it. You know, it's a problem.
It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I can no longer endorse the author because of some more recent things he's said. But the book in particular was really helpful in just calming down, not being in a hurry when I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
Just know God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. These people have lives.
Yeah.
And I can be stupid too. And it's okay.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
We're good.
Just commit. Turn the corner. Turn it corner.
If you want to learn what a person is like, I am totally convinced on this. Watch how they drive.
Yeah.
I really do believe
it will tell you
for sure. Mm. So, what you're dealing with. All right.
Yeah.
Last one.
Last one's acceptance.
This is still part of the lightning round?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have to tell you our word. Okay. Acceptance. I just think Jesus, fact that he's accepted me for who I am and just meets me where I'm at. Like that is, I was talking to the girls about it this morning, which is probably why it's what comes up on my mind.
Yeah.
But
it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's just beautiful.
For all of us.
Yeah, that he just is wanting us, and he accepts us because of his son, because of his son. But
yeah, my mind goes more toward sovereignty, life circumstances, accepting. And I'm going to butcher the prayer, but there's that it's like a Benedictine prayer, Franciscan prayer. But give me the grace to accept the things I cannot change. Mm, give me the courage to engage the things I can change and the wisdom to know the difference, something like that.
Yeah,
So when I hear acceptance, I think of that phrase.
That's so true. So true.
It's almost a surrender in that way. Yeah. I was thinking acceptance as being accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our culture, being aging in the culture, being a woman aging in the culture. I'm just talking me.
And just aging too.
Yeah, well, she's gorgeous. So.
All women are aging.
I can feel the aging so much. Sorry. Oh my goodness.
No, that makes sense. That is a big part of how we live life is, are we accepted or not?
Yes.
Right.
That's absolutely the question. Right.
That's like really a daily thing.
It
is.
It doesn't matter how old you are. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Hey, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
This was fun.
So, thanks again.
Yeah. Awesome.
So we have a couple with us. Who is with us? You are who?
Savannah.
And
Nevaeh.
And Nevaeh.
So those the coolest names ever?
Yeah. Do you like your names?
Yes.
Yeah, they're pretty cool, I think. Yeah, so, all right.
Mine's having backwards. And yours an actual place.
No, say that again.
Mine's having
get a little
backwards.
Closer.
Mine's having backwards, and hers is an actual place.
What's the place?
Savannah,
I see.
You know what state that's in?
No, Africa.
Oh, well, it might be.
Georgia.
That's right.
That's awesome. That's right. All right. So a couple questions here. What's your favorite ice cream? Savannah.
Bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
They make bubblegum
bubble in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can like blow bubbles when you're done with your ice cream?
That's fun.
Sometimes we just eat it.
How about you, Neve? What's your favorite ice cream?
Death by chocolate.
Death by
chocolate, girl.
So that's like a lot of chocolate, huh? Yeah. All right. What's your plans for this summer? Swimming?
Yes.
Do you know how to swim?
No. Kind of.
So you sink to the bottom. Is that it?
No.
No.
We jump that in and then we start swimming.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds fun.
Dog
that
paddle.
Sounds fun.
I dog paddle. You know where it's like
yeah,
this.
Me and Savannah dog paddle until like we're actually starting to swim. So sometimes I do this and then I start doing this.
Yeah, but you know how to stay up above the water, yes. Which is very important.
You
right?
know you can float in yeah. water, right?
Yes.
Right? You just relax.
In the lake, nobody does it.
Yeah.
No.
That's fun. That's okay. So how old are you?
Eight.
So why are you both eight?
Because we're twins.
No way.
Yes.
Who came out first, do you know? Savannah. So you're older.
1 minute.
No
One
way.
Minute. 1 minute.
Can you tell the difference? One
yes.
minute? Yeah.
She's the sportiest.
She's the sportiest? Really?
I was going to say, so what do you guys like to do?
I like to run and play basketball.
Really?
I like doing ballet and doing backbends.
Oh, my goodness.
So I do like dance stuff, and I do like art stuff, and sometimes I like write a lot.
You're a writer.
I also like reading.
Wow.
I don't read a
well,
lot.
Well, that
but
fits
read.
In, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're the sporter? Is that what I call
yes.
it?
Yes, sporty.
Yeah. Sporty girl.
And what do you do? What kind of sports?
I do Kid Strong. I'm starting Kid Strong like on Monday.
Kid Strong?
Mm-hmm.
That's
a place. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you do a bunch of different stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She also does basketball.
Basketball.
Not anymore.
But you used to. So you can dribble the ball.
Yes, she
you
can.
You can shoot it into the hoop.
No.
Not yes. yet. You okay. try. Yeah.
And she also is very, very athletic. So she can run very, very fast.
She's
more faster than me.
Faster. Well, she's older.
Yeah, that is true.
I know it's hard. Stay close to your mics
yeah.
so we can
yeah.
hear you.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah. Well, this is awesome. I'm so glad you guys joined us.
We just thought it would be more complete. Is that correct language? No. Complete is good enough, right?
Something like that.
But
yeah.
we needed to have you guys part yeah. of this, too.
Yeah, and we are so glad that you guys are here now. Because yeah. Seriously, because you're a lot of fun. I think you make your mom and dad fun too, right? They're shaking their heads.
They take
yeah.
us to Stillwell's.
Oh,
that's where we get our ice cream.
The
favorites.
Best.
That is the
yes,
best.
The best. Yeah.
You should try Death by Chocolate there.
No, you should try frozen yogurt. You ever had that?
No.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's not impressive.
Get vanilla. Vanilla frozen yogurt in a waffle cone. Oh, my goodness sakes. It is so good. Promise you'll try one?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Thanks.
Wait,
for...
we have questions for you.
You,
oh,
do?
You do?
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
What type of ice cream do you like best?
I just told you. Vanilla is oh. the top of the world.
Well, I think.
What your... mom makes it.
Yeah.
Vanilla?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You should
that's
come
cool.
and try it.
What's yeah, your favorite?
That's awesome.
What's your favorite ice cream?
German chocolate cake.
Ooh.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
My mom also makes Death by Chocolate cookies.
No way. Are they big?
You're right. We're yes. coming over.
We just got an invitation.
Yeah.
It's how big they are.
Really?
That's the way to have them, right? Yummy.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Any more questions?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Just
What's
one
your favorite
more.
Color?
That's a hard one. I'm going to say blue.
You're wearing blue right now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Blue, he's
yeah.
a guy.
Baby blue, actually.
Blue. Tiny, tiny blue?
Yeah. No, funny. Like this is like a, this is a gray blue. All right. I'm sorry. Ask her what
no,
question.
No,
what
totally
color?
Fine. I think
what color is your favorite color?
Yeah.
I think probably yellow.
Mine's cheetah print.
Mine's
cheetah print. mine is violet.
That's
print.
Violet.
Violet.
And cheetah print. Put those two together and what do you get?
Cheetah print violet.
Good. All right.
And also Seafoam Green is also my favorite.
Seafoam Green, that's awesome.
It's yeah. very,
we
very
love the ocean.
Pretty.
All right, girls, thank you so much for joining us, okay?
All right.
All right, we'll see you.
See you later.
Well, what a wonderful time with Caleb and Angie
yes,
Davis.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. It's always fun to bring these couples together and try to go a little deeper.
Right. Hear yeah, their story.
Hear their story. So as we close out, we know that marriage is hard for all of us, and I think we can all testify of that. But marriage is also a very beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think it's the tough that makes it beautiful.
I think it is, too. I think it is, too. We see each other as friends when we learn to truly do life together as a team, as a unit. There's just something about bonding together.
Right. Yeah. You kind of know a little bit about that, being a sport person.
Yeah, sports. It's I love baseball and hockey and being a part of so many teams that just very quickly into the season as a team bonds together. That's what makes them strong. I remember in high school, we had my senior year of baseball team was terrible. Coach wasn't very good. And, but we bonded as a team and yeah. we knew how to play as a team. We actually made it to state.
Oh,
it did very well.
There you go.
We didn't win, but, we did have a great time together. And so as a team, we learn how to win together
right.
In marriage. We learn how to lose together
right.
and how to grow in that whole process of when life is difficult and things don't go the way
right.
we plan on them to go. So with that, we do encourage you, just some little things as we leave the program today, to communicate
right.
better. Strive to communicate
right.
better
Start
together.
Start with little things.
Yeah. Like?
Like if you're at home, you know, a lot work from home.
Yeah.
If you're home together, you know, take time to make a quick little stroll around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a simple thing, but it's a start.
Yeah.
Right? Read a book.
Read a book, even together. Yeah.
Right? Even if it's before you shut the lights out. You're not very alert,
yeah.
but it's bonding you yeah. together.
And a lot of it is intentionality. It's very easy as life gets hard, whether it's kids or the busyness of life, to not be intentional in the marriage itself. And so it means simple things like you're walking into church, grab your spouse's hand
yeah.
and walk in together.
You might surprise
yeah.
each other.
Yeah. And even if you have kids, they see that. And your kids see the unit and the team that you are together. I think it grows the love of the family. So just a little thoughts before we leave the program today. We do thank you for joining us. So.